shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade. I'm your host this evening from My Umbrella Marketing. And tonight we have a wonderful guest here with us. We have Mark Ewing. He is the lead volunteer and founder of Beautify Shasta. Welcome, Mark. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So a little bit of a background for those of you who might be tuning in for the very first time. Heroes of the North State is a show that is put together of our local citizens who rise above simply because it's the right thing to do. They go out into our community and they make a difference, and no one asks them to. Their employers aren't asking them to. They strictly just have a heart for our community, for volunteerism and giving back. And I met Mark actually through another guest that we had here on our show a couple of months ago. And I'm just really excited to share with you everything that Beautify Shasta is doing. You may have heard the name and wondering what they're about. And so we're going to give Mark the microphone this evening, and we're going to let him just share his heart and his passion. So Mark, let's start with this. So tell us a very, synopsis of what is Beautify Shasta.
So Beautify Shasta is just a grassroots movement that I decided to start here in Shasta County that just makes Shasta County just a little bit more beautiful by picking up trash, doing urban landscaping, graffiti removal, just anything to kind of make it look a little bit more presentable to the community.
Okay. Well, and we appreciate you and people like you, because I know there are a few others in our community who have done that. And that mm-hmm. is a big job. Mm-hmm. Probably, I use the word thankless, but not because we don't thank you, but because we don't probably see you doing it. Honestly, you're out there, you're making our community beautiful. And we, just people living in our community, sometimes it's easy to take that for granted. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And so before we dive in a little bit further, so tell me, how long have you been in Shasta County or in Redding?
Yeah, so I've been in Shasta County since 1996. Moved here with my family, obviously, young then, and just grew up in Shasta County, moved away a few different towns, and always ended up coming back. I just love Shasta County. This place is amazing. We have everything, right? Mm-hmm. We have all of our lakes and rivers, and the scenery is just beautiful, and the community is just phenomenal. So just, always find myself coming back here, and, this is where I want to be. This is, where I've created my career and everything. So it's just, Shasta County is the place to be for me.
It sounds like our stories are very similar. Moved here when I was 10. Family moved around in construction, so we would come and go, but we always ended up back here. Came because of the lakes. Mm-hmm. And so it is. You're absolutely correct. Yeah. It's a beautiful place to be and raise a family.
Yep.
So you're here now. What's the longest amount of time you've been here? So since 96, you said?
Yeah, 96. Okay. So moved around a little bit, but yeah, I've been here probably at least about 23 years now or so.
Yeah.
So solidly.
You've seen a lot of changes, a lot of evolution in our community as we've grown and continue to grow.
Yeah. Improve all the time. Every year there's something improved. Yeah. Shasta County is amazing like that. Just every time I turn around, there's something better and better happening. And community is, like what you said, everybody's stepping up in different ways. So it's phenomenal to live here.
So you have a young family. You don't have to say their names.
No family, just me.
Just you? Just okay, me. So you're here, single guy, in his prime, and you decide you want to do something for our community.
Yeah.
So, okay, so with that, what was, like, the spark? What was the thing that said, I can do this. This is something I want to give back.
Yeah, so this has been an idea I've had for a number of years, actually. I just didn't have the tools to implement anything. So I used to work for Shasta County Health and Human Services years ago, and I would travel South Bonneville all the time, and I would see all the trash on South Bonneville, as I'm sure you've seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I always thought, like, gosh, this is just such a sad sight, because, they did a lot of really nice work on South Bonneville, because, of course, mm-hmm. everybody goes to the casino, which is also gorgeous, and just thinking to myself every morning driving through, it's like, gosh, I just wish that there was somebody that would be out here cleaning this up, making it look a little bit more presentable for all these people coming to the casino to visit our area. And just years have gone by and nothing really happened. So I, you know, reached out to the city and asked, like, what is the process to adopt a street? And it was a little bit more cumbersome than at the time I was willing to take on. So I was like, we'll pass. I'll figure something different out. And then, of course, procrastination, right?
Yeah.
Like, so then finally, you know, with life changes and everything, and with all the skills that I've learned, you know, with work, with, you know, communication and website design and everything like that, I was like, you know, I think I'm actually feeling comfortable enough. I can, you know, dive a little bit deeper into social media. I can build a website. I can actually start making an effort to make this happen. So with recent life events, it gave me a lot of extra free time. And I was like, you know, let's use that anxious energy. Let's put it towards something positive for the community.
Because
I volunteer for the Park Service. I volunteer out at BLM with Friends of Chappie. You know, that was a group that you had on the radio a couple weeks ago. And I thought, you know, we do a lot outside of the city.
Right.
So why can't I do something a little bit more in the city to where, you know, all of these people that come visit us can actually see when they're here, you know, at restaurants or going to the casino or, you know, visiting the Sundial. So just finally saying, okay, let's do it. Let's, you know, boots on the ground. Let's start. Let's get a website. Let's get a logo. Let's get, you know, tips and tricks on how you can, you know, not litter, or, you know, help prevent litter and everything. And launched on July 1st.
So let me stop you there for a moment. So you're starting this website. Mm-hmm. Myself, I can see that too. I know there's a need, but I wouldn't even know where to begin to gather that information. So what was your first steps? Like, where did you go?
Yeah. So the first step was essentially making a mission, vision, and values.
Okay.
That was my first and foremost thing that I wanted to get started to kind of make a good foundation of what Beautify Shasta was going to be for the community. So I started with that. And from that, I was like, okay, well, let's share that somehow. So let's do a website so somebody can find us easily and see what our mission, vision, values are. And then from there, I was like, well, how do we get the word out?
Yeah.
Let's do social media. Let's do an Instagram. Let's do a Facebook page so then people can see all the great work that's happening in our community from other volunteers, because it's not just me.
Right.
Like, I rely on all my volunteers that pitch in on a Saturday, right? So having an avenue to be able to share all the hard work that everybody's doing so the public can be like, oh, that's cool. I want to join that. I want to be a part of this. So it was just small steps at a time. And like I said, you know, between the different jobs I've had, you know, at the county, learning how to, you know, do communication, because that's the department I worked in. And then taking those skills and then the skills I also have in my current position, like, you know, doing website, working a lot in Google and figuring out how to do more, Google site stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I felt really comfortable to be able to kind of move forward with that. So that's, I was like, all right, let's do it and make it happen and see if we can make a change in the community. And here we are. We're just plugging along.
Because there's a lot of logistical, I imagine, things that you have to have put in place prior to the first time you go out to actually do, what do you call it when you go out?
Just a cleanup.
Okay.
Just a cleanup.
So when you go out to do a cleanup, I mean, you have to have now, okay, I've cleaned up. I've got this trailer, this truckload, this whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Now do you have to notify the city in advance that you're coming out with this, or, you know, you have to separate everything? I imagine there's a process.
Yeah. So that was one thing that was really important to me too, is making sure that we are good partners with the cities, with the county, with landowners like BLM, the Park Service, just making sure that we have those open lines of communication to make sure that we are working as a partner, right? Because I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I want to make sure that we're all working together in the cities and the county. Everybody's been so supportive.
Yeah.
So essentially what I do is I just keep an email contact, say, this is when we're going to be cleaning. This is the location we're going to be. Is there anything that the city or county or whatever organization can do to help? And it's always overwhelmingly yes, right?
Okay.
Which has been phenomenal. The city will come out, designate a spot to take the trash. I'll put the trash in that spot. Their workers will come out, collect it, and we're good to go. So it's,
oh, I see. So when you're teaming up, you're not actually having to take it all to them and do all. So you're gathering it.
Yep.
And then they're coming and helping you Okay.
Yeah, and it depends it depends on each organization too, because like City of Anderson, they provided us with dumpsters, and we had our big cleanup down there last month.
Okay.
We had 20 volunteers, collected over 1,000 pounds worth of trash, and,
wow,
and they provided us with dumpsters, and they were a great partner there.
Oh, I hear the music. Okay, well, that's our cue. This show is brought to you by our community supporters, so thank you, and we'll be right back.
Ready for Grange After Hours, presented by Georgia Boot. Join us October 18th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Reading Grange Co-op for an evening of exciting deals and prizes. Spend $100 and get a $20 gift card. Spend $200, get a $50 gift card. Or go big and spend $500 and get a $150 gift card. Plus, the first 50 customers will receive swag bags filled with goodies. Don't miss your chance to win amazing raffle prizes, too. Remember, this exclusive event at the Reading Grange Co-op stores at 55 Lake Boulevard, October 18th from 6:30 to 8. We'll see you there.
Most everyone knows that Orchard Nutrition Center has a big selection of vitamins and supplements, a fresh bakery and deli, organic groceries, and certified organic produce from Shasta County and surrounding areas. What I know is, my mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Personally, I believe her. As a kid, I like things that are sweet. So when she comes home with farm fresh local fruit, trust me, it's sweet. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meats. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. So guess what? Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. Just remember what my mom says. You are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Sea monsters have taken over Turtle Bay Museum from the American Museum of Natural History and circulated by the Smithsonian. Sea Monsters Unearthed explores how fossils contribute to our global understanding of the planet's past, featuring large-scale skeletons and interactive displays for all ages, offering a new perspective on the ancient world. Sea Monsters Unearthed at Turtle Bay Museum in Reading, now through January 11th. Discover this and more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade, your host with My Umbrella Marketing. And again, we've got Mark here. Mark is with Beautify Shasta, and he is the volunteer founder. And we're learning about what Beautify Shasta is and how it supports our local communities and cities. And when we left, we were talking about, you know, what does it take to coordinate a cleanup? And what does that process look like? So, Mark, you had mentioned, and I don't know why I was shocked, but that the cities are actually helping you with the disposal of the garbage and everything that you do clean up.
Correct.
So so Shasta is your name. That's a big county. Mm-hmm. What cities have you currently been able to support?
Yeah, so because Shasta County is so large, and because my whole vision with Beautify Shasta is not just the city of Reading, right? Because City of Reading does an amazing job. They also have the Adopt a Spot program, which is another phenomenal. You know, we have so many people that do the Adopt a Spot, but I wanted to broaden out. I wanted to make sure, you know, Bernie, they're part of our community, right? So, you know, I've worked with volunteers up in Bernie to do cleanups or do a cleanup up there. I'd love to tackle Shingletown. I know that there's needs up in that area as well. Shasta Lake City was absolutely amazing. That was one of my first, you know, big scale cleanups. They provided all the equipment needed. I got volunteers through Members First to come out, and we did a huge cleanup right there at Pine Grove and Ashby, which was phenomenal. And the City of Anderson, of course, we had the big cleanup last month that we collected over 1,000 pounds worth of trash, and even one of their city council members came out to help that cleanup, which was great. And then City of Reading also, you know, I've done small cleanups here and there and coordinated with them, and they've came out and picked up trash and or picked up the collection of the trash. And I've also just paid out of pocket to take trash to the transfer station, too, when I couldn't organize or if I just did something on a weekend.
So you do this, and then what what type of items are you going to encampments? Are you going to, is it trash along the freeway? Is it around the, on the road? Like, what does that look like?
So what I try to focus on is I try to focus on just kind of hot areas. Like the sides of the road is a hot area where tourists would essentially see the trash. Or for example, one weekend I was out there next to Wind River Mini Mart. That whole corner usually gets pretty bad. A lot of people, you know, travel in that area. And I drive by that every day to go to work. And I was like, you know, on a weekend, I can spend a few hours. I'll go out there, clean that corner up really quick. So I try to focus more on areas that are visible to the public or areas that could essentially impact wildlife or our watershed. Like this last weekend, we were out there. We had 9 volunteers and did a Calaboose Creek right there next to the VFW hall. And we were able to collect 375 pounds worth of trash there in just about an hour and a half. We had 4 students from UPrep, 1 student from Foothill. They came out and they volunteered with us. So
we were talking a little bit on the break. That is incredible because often, not always, but oftentimes you'll hear people, those kids, and it's not always in a positive light. But here you have 2 different high schools representing on their free time. They're not being paid. It's 100% volunteer, and they're picking up trash and probably on a Saturday. So those are pretty incredible kids, I think.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. And then, you know, it's not just UPrep and Foothill either. I've had Anderson New Tech has also came out and done work for us as well. And, you know, they're just great partners. The kids are absolutely amazing. They're so excited to be there. They're super respectful. I mean, I can't say enough good things. Like, they just gung-ho, ready to rock and roll. And even after the cleanup, they're like, hey, can we partner with you again? It'd be so much fun if we could get our club involved, if we could get more volunteers.
And that's cool.
You know, I told them, yes, just send us an email. Like, we're happy to organize something. I'd love to have more kids come out because, I mean, it's their community too.
And we're teaching the next generation of volunteers too. And that's what I've found in all the interviews I've done and all the different things that I've volunteered for in my own life. It's that generational giving back, generational volunteering that makes the community what it is today. And we do have a shortage of volunteers. We're finding in a lot of like committees that we're still part of. So I think it's great. So how'd you get them motivated? Like, what do you go to the schools and speak to them? Like, what does that look like?
So I actually am really lucky, because I didn't reach out to the schools at all yet. That's one of my goals. One of the teachers, actually a couple of the teachers, from Foothill, one from UPrep, saw the news post that was shared out on Facebook and shared it with the class and said, hey, you know, if you would like some extra credit, go to this event, participate, and they did.
So you've got teachers organically who are seeing your social media posts that you volunteered and put together, and now you have this next generation. I love it. That's wonderful.
It's amazing.
So what is, like, one of the strangest things you've actually found on the side of the road?
I mean, you know, we find just your average stuff a lot of the time. I don't think there's ever been anything super strange. Just standard, items. Nothing really out of the norm. I wouldn't say.
Like, are you ever driving down the road and see somebody throw something out and just cringe?
I've seen videos, of course. You know, there's always videos that people, you know, blast on social media. You know, it's sometimes that accidents happen. Sometimes people just don't know. Yeah. Right? It's just ignorance. They don't think about the impacts when they do throw trash out the window. And sometimes it is an accident. I've had it happen, you know, driving down the freeway and jamming out to your favorite tunes. The next thing you know, there goes your Home Depot receipt, right?
Right out the window. Or kids in the back, and you don't even know what's happening. Yeah. That's the true story. So then with that, so you must have a goal. So tell me, so you just founded this, though, if I understand you correctly, this
July
last
1st.
Summer?
Yeah.
Okay, so July 1st. And how many cleanups have you done since then?
We've done, let's see, July, August, September, and October. So four plus a couple small, just on-the-cuff kind of cleanups. Like the Bernie one wasn't that was just a random one. And then I've gone out numerous times. Whenever I'm out fishing, I always make sure I at least get one bag of trash. And I've done cleanups with the Park Service. You know, I volunteer with them, and they've hosted a few around the lake, which has been phenomenal. So Whiskeytown Recreation Area, the Park Service out there is, you know, phenomenal at getting things around the lake, because they understand, you know, tourism as well, that make it clean for everybody. So it's, I mean, we've done a lot, you know, we've put in over 2,000 hours worth of volunteer hours just with Beautify Shasta's events alone. That's not including, you know, the small stuff that I do on the side, and, you know, almost 1,700 pounds worth of trash just this first quarter. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but I mean, in the grand scheme, you know, it's such small impact, or small actions make such a huge impact. I mean, you know, just this last weekend, that's not part of that data, that 375 pounds is that much trash because it was in that creek. That's not making it into the Sacramento River, because, I mean, it's just across Park Marina. So, I mean, if we got a heavy rain, that would have all just washed right into the Sacramento. So,
yeah, and then collected all along the banks and down at the bottom. So that is true. So,
huge
you know, it does sound like a lot to me, because when I think about how light is a piece of paper that flies out the window, a receipt, how light is a cup, we're talking like some of them don't even register an ounce, you know. So to say it's that much, that's a lot. Do you find a lot of food kind of just disintegrates, I'm assuming?
You know, and it's funny you bring that up. That's actually such a good point, and it gives me an opportunity to kind of educate people because a lot of folks think, you know, banana peels or orange rinds, if throw them out the window, they'll decompose, which is true.
Yeah.
If it's in a controlled area, like a compost bin, when you throw it on the side of the road, unfortunately, it turns into essentially leather. And then it just sits, and it won't decompose, because then it's dried out, and it takes considerably longer for a banana peel or orange peels to decompose just sitting on the side of the road, opposed if you throw it into your compost.
Yeah.
So definitely encourage people to use their compost bins over throwing stuff out the window.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you when that's something I did not realize. That makes sense, because you're thinking, well, yeah, it's just breadcrumb. Well, bread might be different because of the elements. But, yeah, that makes sense. And I have, I mean, just think about it. I have picked up hard banana peels. Yeah. So, wow.
Yeah, and I'm equally as guilty, because I thought the same thing before I started doing more research and figuring that stuff out. And, of course, you get involved with this kind of stuff. You just learn things.
Gum.
Yeah. Yep.
I bet gum's probably one of the number one offenders.
Cigarette butts.
Number
one.
See that.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't know cigarette butts. They're 100% recyclable.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
You can recycle cigarette butts. There's a company that you can send them off to for free if you collect them, and they'll actually turn them into park benches and all sorts of different items. Yeah. They're mostly plastic.
Yeah, you're right, because you can see them after a major rainstorm. You can run over them with a car tire. They get flat, but they don't go away.
Yeah, they just turn into microplastics.
Okay. Wow. Oh, and you're breathing that. Okay, well, that's a whole different topic. Okay. So on your first outing, how many people did you have?
So it was just me and Redding Buzz. He came out. Yeah. We did a cleanup at the Civic Auditorium after 4th of July. Just a post-party cleanup kind of a deal. So, attending that before, you kind of have an idea how much stuff gets left out on the lawn. So I was like, you know what, let's make that the first one. Like, everybody goes to the Sundial. It's a gorgeous building, really nice area. Yeah. You know, everybody had a lot of fun. Let's go clean it up. And I think we got, I want to say it was almost 50 pounds worth of trash.
Oh my goodness.
Around there. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun, gorgeous morning. You know, it wasn't too hot for July.
Right.
Just went and picked all that stuff up really quick and made it a little bit nicer. So when people drove by, it was all done and clean. The city was super appreciative. They said, you know, thank you so much. Cause they were there cleaning stuff up as well. So it was just nice to kind of work work with them to be able to do hand-in-hand and get that knocked out.
Yeah. So do you have a city and another city that is in mind, or you already have another date set, I guess is what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, so nothing's on the calendar yet, just because this last cleanup on Saturday took my November spot that I was going to clean up. So I'm still working with BLM right now just to hopefully get a few different areas that they have. BLM, unfortunately, has so much land, they get a lot of dumping.
That's true.
And they just don't have the staff, unfortunately, just because, you know, with funding and things like that. So they're pretty strapped. So being able to help them out is huge. And I'm really happy that we have a great, you know, communication with them.
So, I hear that's our cue. We got to go to a commercial break. Well, Mark, this is a great topic. Stay tuned because we're going to hear more about Beautify Shasta when we get back, and we'll see you in a moment.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time is coming for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back to Heroes of the North State. We are here live on KCNR Radio 96.5 and 1460 AM, your talk radio station. And I am here today, this evening with Mark Ewing. He is the Beautify Shasta lead volunteer and founder. Founded it back in July, the beginning of July, and he is taking volunteer groups into our cities and coordinating with our city management team, disposal help me with the language for that.
Usually like the Parks Department's been a member, you know, we got Public Works has been great, you know, depending on what city you're working with. So
if you're driving down the road and you're looking at the beautiful green grass and there's no trash in it, could be that Mark and his team were there and helped make it beautiful for all of us. And he's not only just doing it for the community members that live here, he's also doing it because he has pride in our community, and people that drive through, maybe vacationing or just stopping over and, staying the night and heading on to their next destination. It's that first impression that really counts. And
so, 100%.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark, for that. So then during the break, we were talking a little bit and you mentioned that you have, there's a Beautify Fresno, did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I learned about that shortly after I started everything with Beautify Shasta and saw everything that they're doing down in Fresno and was very intrigued. So I actually reached out to their director down there. He was very forthcoming and wanting to meet and gave me a bunch of tips and tricks. And, you know, he was phenomenal to talk to. He was really excited to hear about what we're doing up here. And, you know, they've been going on for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much started the same way. They, of course, have a much different way that they operate. They actually are part of the city of Fresno.
Okay.
And they actually have a budget. So that helps them a lot with a lot of the disposal of trash and things like that when they do their cleanups. But they're phenomenal. They really have it dialed in down there, and they focus a lot on education too.
Okay.
They actually go in and they support schools, and they actually try to get kids to create these clubs in the schools, which is something I would love to eventually be able to get in and, you know, talk with our high schools and let the kids really just come up with their own way to try to make the community a lot more cleaner and a lot more brighter for everybody. So
So when you're talking about all the different things that you find, the different types of trash that you find, if I understood you correctly, when we were talking on the phone, you were talking about ways to educate, like with recycling and composting.
Yep.
So what do those conversations look like currently when you're out in the field?
Just give fun facts. I think people just really enjoy just random fun facts about trash, like, you know, the cigarette butt thing I mentioned earlier and, you know, the banana peel and orange peels. Like, those are things like people, they just don't think about, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just they're just trash, right?
Yeah.
And also on the website, you know, www.beautifyshasta.org, I got a whole tab just for resources, like, you know, how to properly compost and what's recyclable and how to recycle things. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff you actually can recycle opposed to throwing away.
Yeah.
So there is companies that you can send this stuff to recycle if that's something that you're really interested in getting behind. And I think, you know, if we let the students kind of get into that, like, that's the future, right?
Yeah.
To be able to get them to start recycling more opposed to throwing stuff away. So,
you know, I could see, you know, we all get those either our bill in the mail or electronically.
Mm-hmm.
I could see an insert with Beautify Shasta information on there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And get people to come to your website and check it out and volunteer and give back. So it's Saturday morning and you're doing a trash pickup and I'm watching home improvement shows. No, not every Saturday. So when you're doing that, the big misconception I would think is you have to give your whole day.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I try to make sure that we do our events pretty short. Because, you know, what's a couple hours out of your weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got other stuff I'm doing as well. You know, I work full time and also you know, travel a lot and do all sorts of different things. So, you know, I'm strapped for time as well. So I don't want to be spending all day at an event. So I try to keep my cleanups at about 2 hours. Seems to be kind of the sweet spot. That was a recommendation from Beautify Fresno to be able to keep them short. Start them about 9 o'clock. So they're early, but they're not too early. So people have an easier time, like, for teenagers, example, you know, we all know how hard it is to get teenagers out of bed. That can be kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
So try to make them not horribly early. So then it encourages a little bit a better turnout when we have those events.
Yeah. So when you show up, let's say someone wants to volunteer, what kind of attire should they wear? What should they come in?
Yeah, so we always recommend, you know, long pants, closed-toed shoes, you know, T-shirt, usually fine. I always provide gloves, grabbers, bags, buckets, anything like, you know, any PPE sort of stuff. So, just essentially long pants, closed-toed shoes, and whatever.
And away you go.
Yeah.
So then do you have a designated spot? So we're all, are you go as a group or you divide up within the area?
Yeah. So it really just kind of depends on the need. Like for an example, when we were down in Anderson, we were right there off Gateway Drive behind Safeway. It was a huge open space back there, really gorgeous area. But unfortunately there's a lot of encampments back there. And City of Anderson, they did a great job going out there a few weeks prior. They did a bunch of cleanup on their own. And then we just kind of came in and got the little stuff and what we did down there, because we had over 20 volunteers, we divided and conquered. So we just had a bunch of different groups head out, collected trash. I just let them know, leave your bags. I'll come back and collect them later, because we got dumpsters I'll take them to. So they just would clean up, leave a bag, walk to the next section, and we spread out. It was just like a bunch of little army ants, just, you know, working as a team. It was phenomenal to see. It was a lot of fun. We had the geocaching community that came out. They were a huge help out there. So huge shout out to them. And then we had, of course, like I said, you know, a city council member came out and helped, which was really, you know, it was nice to see that involvement as well. So,
Well, you're cleaning up there, beautifying their city. So, it is nice. You're correct about that. So water bottles, I'm assuming, or is that something everybody bring their own water? And
most people, they'll have like a little water bottle that they'll bring. But I always make sure I keep water bottles with me just in case. I mean, you never know.
Like, don't count on it, because it is a volunteer group.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So it's just nice. You know, I do my little safety spiel in the beginning, you know, make sure you're watching out, you know, heat illness is a thing. If it's hot, you know, watch out for sharps and snakes and things like that. So just to make sure people are aware there are dangers to volunteering, but you can do it safely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things it's families could do it together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real bonding moment, not only with your immediate family, but with your community itself, because when you drive by, you're like, yeah, remember when we cleaned up that area? Or, you know, something else I was thinking about is, do you see a natural weather pattern where trash just naturally collects in the same area more than once, or have you not been doing it long enough to notice that yet?
Yeah, I have not quite been doing it long enough. I'm sure there is data out there that would support that.
Wind blows and it goes around this building.
I'm collecting data right now just for hot spots where we clean up, just to kind of start tracking that. So in the next few years, hopefully we can start to see those trends. Because I really do like the data portion of it, because then it also gives us something to take back to our city partners, right? And say, hey, this is where we've been seeing a lot of trash. This is how much we've collected. Because it kind of reinforces, like numbers speak volumes, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
It's huge to be able to collect that data.
Yeah, I can see that. So then if you're out, if you don't make a pre-designed location with the city that you're in, then you said you actually just used your own dollars and took it to the dump.
Yeah.
On your own.
Yeah, just load it up, take it to the transfer station or out to the dump and just get rid of it. Yeah.
You know, back in the old days, the dump, you could actually walk through it and climb over the piles. Isn't that crazy to think?
Go like, rummage through.
They did. People did. It was really gross. but possible. Now you can't get anywhere near it.
Well, one person's trash is another person's
100%.
Treasure.
Well, now they separate it out for us. They put the bike stuff in one area, the refrigeration in another. Yep. Before it was all just mixed together.
Yeah, and one thing I would like to mention, too, about Beautify Shasta, it's not just organized cleanups. I actually have a few friends that they go out on their own outside of an organized Beautify Shasta event, and they clean up all the time, whether it be with their family or, you know, just on their morning walk.
Yeah.
You know, we have people that are frequently going out and just doing cleanups on their own that I would love to recognize them, because they're just, you know, the volunteers are really the backbone of Beautify Shasta. I organize, but ultimately I would be nothing without all of our volunteers and our partners. So.
Yeah, no, that is so true. So speaking about that, so if someone, two separate questions, actually. The first one is more in line with what we're talking about. So if I live in the community and I see an area that constantly seems to be a problem, do they contact you directly, or how does that work?
I would love for them to contact me directly. BeautifyShasta@gmail.com, or you can send me a Facebook message, an Instagram message. I try to make it easy to contact us. So
you
know, there's many means to let us know. I would love to know if there's hot spots. I would love to organize something. I mean, it is a community organization, because I want the community involved.
Yeah.
I would love to get, you know, messages saying, hey, can we clean up over here? Can we do this? Can our school get involved? Can my business get involved? Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And I imagine, I mean, it's like having your eyes and ears on the ground. We all live here. We all see it.
Yeah.
sometimes it's easy to get a kind of a blind's eye because you get used to it.
Yep.
But like you were saying, the more we educate, the more we inform, the more you get it out there, the more you talk about it. I believe that if you came and cleaned up one day, you would then start seeing it even more so.
Yeah, then you kind of have an eye for it.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
You're a little bit more conscientious of it when you're at home, too. It's like, oh, can mm-hmm. I throw this away or should I recycle it?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a huge step, right?
It's a big step. And I have to say, even later in my life, I was taught that lesson more so than I was when I was younger. So how much we can actually recycle mm-hmm. compared to trash and compost when we started really separating it out, it was really an eye-opener to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, a lot of stuff can be recycled.
Mm-hmm. So back years ago, I used to work for our local PBS station, and we had an auction, and people would donate all these items. And there was a company that used to donate clothing mm-hmm. made out of old milk cartons. It was old spun milk cartons. It was the softest fabric. It was sweatshirts and sweaters I think that I've ever seen.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was really cool. And this was before it was even popular to do all the recycling. So,
nice.
Yeah, they were ahead of the game.
Yeah, definitely sounds mm-hmm. like it. That'd be awesome. I wonder if they still are. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So then I was thinking about you saying other people go out in the community and do it on their own. I actually mm-hmm. have a friend of mine who owns a business, and his business meetings are walking and cleaning up, but he doesn't necessarily tell you that you're cleaning up until you get there to go on the walk. And then he hands you the stick and the bag and says, come on, let's go walk.
Yeah, perfect.
And he has walking meetings, legitimately walking meetings.
Oops, that's
our cue again. This is going by really fast, Mark. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back, and it'll be our last segment with Mark Ewing from Beautify Shasta, and we'll hear more about that, and hopefully you'll think about getting involved.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda. When we want to get away and have a staycation, we go to our favorite place, and that is Holiday Harbor at Shasta Lake.
Check out the best rates on the lake for ski boats, houseboats, fishing boats, and all of your water toys.
Holiday Harbor's off-season rates are a great deal. Plus, September and October, the fishing's great.
Relax and enjoy your Shasta Lake experience by calling Holiday Harbor, and you can also find them at lakeshasta.com. Holiday Harbor. Call 530-238-2383.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Don Pepin Garcia Cuban Classic. Wrapped in a beautiful Habano Rosado leaf, these cigars are jam-packed with lush, hearty Nicaraguan tobacco. Rich, robust, and yet complex and balanced. Notes of cedar, smoked cashews, black pepper, and cocoa. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1450.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Get connected to what's happening in Shasta County. Tune in to KCNR for the Shasta Live Show, your weekly dose of local business, community buzz, and dining discoveries. Join the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce, Reading Buzz, and Eat Shasta every Monday night from 6:05 to 7 p.m. Can't catch it live? No problem. Listen to the archives anytime at KCNR1460.com. KCNR, and the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce, your community connection.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing, and we are live with Heroes of the North State, and we've got a local hero here tonight. He really is the definition of that, and I say that on every show I have because it's incredible how many amazing local heroes we have here in the North State, and people who are just so selfless that rise above and give back to our community simply and only because it's the right thing to do and they want to make a difference. And so, Mark Ewing, thank you so much for what you're doing in our community and beautifying Shasta so that when I'm out on the lake floating on my floaty in the middle of summer and it's 110, I can thank you and all your volunteers, and I would love to come and help you with some of these cleanups and just appreciate our beautiful community that we have around us.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. So we were talking on the break, I don't know. I've always enjoyed collecting cans. I did it since I was a little girl. We were raised in a family of five. You know, money wasn't just growing on trees. And so if we wanted to do anything extra, we went out and we just worked. And yeah, so
just went and collected.
Just went and collected cans. Yep. And it was my childhood business that I had. And fast forward, I now have a grandson that he has Rowcycling because his name's Roman. And he's doing the same thing, but he's saving up for his car that he's wanting. He's eight now. He's been saving up. He's got $500 saved up.
Dang.
From collecting cans.
That's awesome. Yes. That's a lot of cans.
That's a lot of cans, and he works really hard and to make that happen. So, you know, it's just – it's giving back, but you also get something, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, and your heart grows and all the things that go with that.
Yeah, so that's actually something that I'm currently working on right now is same thing, collecting cans, because there's something I want as well, right? I want to become a nonprofit officially. I want to save enough money collecting cans to be able to get my 501c3, so then we can make a bigger difference. You know, as soon as we start getting, you know, more donations in, then we can make a larger impact, because grand goal would be able to actually be able to get into the schools a little bit more and be able to fund class projects, essentially. Mm-hmm. I would love to be able to give money to a classroom and say, you know, what can we do to make our community better? You know, here's X amount of money. Beautify Fresno does that. They've had great success with it. I'd love to mirror that kind of that program that they've had such good success with to kind of get our youth a lot more involved because it is their future.
Yeah.
So right now, just, you know, collecting cans. You know, I've working with Locust Street Auto, you know, I got a cans for a cause is what I'm calling it. So when, you know, they have their visitors that come into the shop there, they've got drinks in the lobby. So when they're done with their drinks, they just put their cans in my little collection can there, and I collect those. And, you know, been saving up here, and just hopefully in the next, you know, few months or so, we'll have enough money to actually start applying and doing the paperwork for the 501c3. That'd be great.
Yeah. Oh man, you know, as a community, we can do this, people. That's what I have to say. I would encourage everyone who's listening. Everybody works somewhere. Mm-hmm. And if you just talk to your staff members, put something in the break room.
Yeah.
We bring cans. You bring them in your lunch for work. You have your Coke machines and Pepsi machines. And let's help him out, because this nonprofit isn't just, it's going to help all of us.
Yeah.
All of Shasta.
Well, yeah, again, that's, again, the idea of Beautify Shasta is not just me. It's our entire community. Like, if you're out picking up trash with your family, like, you're part of Beautify Shasta.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing a huge part.
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't have to be official. You don't have to have a shirt or a tag or anything. Like, you're already making a huge difference in the community just by one bag of trash.
Yeah. You know, it's great, because anything that you do collectively, so if you go do it on your own, it always feels good. But when you do it as a group, there's that sense of pride that comes with the community involvement.
Yeah.
Part of it that just organically happens. It just naturally happens. And so, and you're teaching, it's a mindset, like I said, and then you're out, you know, at the park, playing in the park, you see something, you pick it up and you throw it away. It's just really simple.
Yeah, and it's contagious too, right?
Like 100%.
We go out and when we're out cleaning on the side of a road or something like that, we get everybody honking.
Yeah.
You know, that always feels good, but that then is contagious because then somebody will be like, well, I want to go out and clean. Like,
yeah.
I can't believe the impact they're making. And they see the data of, you know, after a cleanup and say, wow, 375 pounds. Holy smokes. How can I help with that? Like, it could have been more if I was there.
Yeah. You know what? This is why we need, if we have a business out there that does t-shirt designs or would challenge you to please donate some shirts to this cause, because we need people to know who's doing it on the side of the road when they're driving by honking, because if everyone can see that it's Beautify Shasta and it's an all-volunteer group, that will become contagious more, of course, word of mouth, but to see it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, how do they get hold of you again?
Either beautifyshasta@gmail.com, a Facebook message, Instagram message.
Yeah.
You can also visit the website. There's all sorts of information on there. It's www.beautifyshasta.org. So
nice.
We try to make it easy to get a hold of us.
Yeah, exactly. And we're getting into the winter months, so, you know, some rain jackets would be really great.
Yeah, winter months are coming up, so
yeah.
We're going to be getting some creek cleanups, so keep an eye out for that on social media and on the website, so you can come out and volunteer and hopefully catch some of this trash before it gets too far into the Sacramento.
Yeah, absolutely. So on a, what would be your ideal, like how many people in a day? I mean, have you thought about that? Like, ooh, for these 2 hours, if we had 50 people, that'd be wonderful. Is there ever just too many
Yeah, there can be too many volunteers. Depends on the location.
Okay.
It depends on the amount. Like if it's on the side of a road, it's always hard, you know, without working closely with the city to be able to shut down a lane or something. You know, it's like, I don't want to put people at risk.
Yeah.
So if there's too many people, that ups the risk factor. So if it's more of an open space, I'd love to have 20, 30, 40 people if there's enough trash to go around.
Yeah.
Or if it's the side of a road, like I said, you know, smaller groups are usually easier to manage there. Makes it a lot safer, a lot easier to kind of navigate that. But it really depends. It's all situational, really.
Well, and let's, you know, because this is our last break, let's kind of recap a little bit of that, because I don't have to give my every Saturday or my every day.
Nope.
I'm giving a couple hours.
Yep. A couple hours once a month. First weekend of every month is when I try to plan them out. So it's regular. It's easy to schedule. A lot of people usually after the first weekend of the month are pretty busy. Like I'm busy with my third weekend of every month with my 4x4 group and friend of Chappie. So, you know, we always got something going on there. So it's just kind of navigating and planning those days out.
Yeah. And everyone can just do a little bit. So if you can't make it every single month, but maybe you can do it every couple of months.
Yeah.
And if we're all doing our part, it's the many that make the hard work seem little.
Yep. Many hands make light work.
Yes, exactly. And it's the camaraderie when you're all helping out.
And it is. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, a lot of people, I think there's a misconception when you volunteer and picking up trash doesn't sound glamorous.
You're right.
It sounds like, well, do I want to do? But I mean, really, I mean, I think we have a lot of fun. We had the Shasta Lake cleanup. We had members first credit union come out and they were helping us with that to get their employees some volunteer hours. And it was just an absolute blast. We're all laughing and having a good time. You know, I was learning more about their staff and, you know, where they're from and how many people do live in Redding and how long they've lived here. And you know, it's fun to kind of get that community involvement, like with people I wouldn't necessarily normally talk to because I don't bank at members first, right?
Right.
So it's fun to be able to talk with people in our community. So now if I see them at the grocery store, I can say, oh, hey, Robert, it's so good to see you. Thanks so much for coming out. You know, it's that rather than keeping your head down if you're out and about, like you see somebody you've actually, you know, sat and picked up trash with. It's just a lot of fun to be able to get that community back. And, you know, Shasta County is just so great that there's just no reason to not have that community pride.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. So, you know, I'm sitting here looking at you. You're a young guy and you're single.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies, he'd be a great catch because he's okay with cleaning up. So that kind of baffles me. But with that being said, you are giving of yourself at such a young age. Mm-hmm. It's really, what's your average age, would you say, that has been helping you so far?
I would say high school for sure.
Yeah,
because I mean, between Anderson, New Tech, Foothill, and UPrep, the three that I've had volunteer with me the most, I've had a lot of high schoolers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, their parents are there too. Right?
Yeah.
You know, but I'd say probably average, you know, I would say 40s, you know, 30s, the 40s, I think are pretty safe to say. And then, of course, you know, the older community, they come out as well.
Yeah.
It's just such a broad, it's hard to really say that there's one, but we've definitely had a lot of high schoolers.
Yeah. I can see as this grows and you become a nonprofit and you're able to now get grants or you can accept donations on a different level, how much more you're going to be able to do within the community. We were talking on the break. I said, I could see this being a full-time gig.
Yeah.
Honestly, don't know if you want that. But, I mean, if you think about it, it's a big responsibility. And I do have a question about this, and I'm not sure how to say it, but you ever have anyone say, well, we don't need to do that because we already pay our city to come and pick up our trash?
Yeah, occasionally we'll have somebody that says that. You know, there's always more that we can do.
Always.
Right? The city does a bunch of great work. You know, they do as much as they can with the funding that they got. But why would you stop there?
Yeah,
just exactly. Do more.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's our cue. Okay, well, that's a good way to end. So, okay, how to get a hold of you one more time?
www.beautifyshasta.org or beautifyshasta@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. It's another show of Heroes of the North State. Mark Ewing, thank you so much for giving of your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. And coming in, I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing. We will be back here again the same time next month.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.